I honestly don't think you're supposed to be able to sing like that till you get to heaven. But my theology says it this way. The person in here who has the worst voice, who is that? Now you don't have to read. Look at all those hands went up. In heaven, you'll be singing like that. And God only knows what Larry will sound like. Because the first will be last and the last will be first. Donna, come here real quick. I want you to interview Ibis real quick. Ibis, come up here, and you guys give us that testimony about what happened this morning, real quick.
Ibis, come here.
This is wonderful.
This is just to show you what our God does. Okay, here's a beautiful woman whose daughter sent her a text yesterday saying she was so depressed, she wanted to kill herself. And it was a cry for help, we know. And Ibis took and stepped on the devil's head today. In Bible study. She stepped on the devil's head, she took charge, she cried her eyes out like any mommy would do, and then she called the devil out. And she said, "You get away from my daughter, you don't have any power here." Jesus. And her daughter, within moments, sent a text. Now remember, her first text was yesterday. She sent a text this morning and said, right after we prayed, right after she took control of the devil. And what did your daughter say?
She just text me about that she's doing better and the Lord is good. And well, you just explained.
And she was going to stand on what the Lord has put in her life.
Amen.
And she wasn't going to kill herself.
Amen.
Praise God. It was truly, it's monumental, because we have to realize.
It's no surprise that God answered me, but the quickly that he did it, after we pray, and she just sent me this text with many, many psalms and talking about don't be afraid, don't have fear.
Amen.
All these things that I can't believe it. And yes, the only thing I can say, God is awesome.
Hallelujah.
God is awesome.
Praise the Lord.
And yes, we just need to have authority to just say to the devil, no.
Amen.
No.
Amen.
My daughter is my daughter, is daughter of my Lord. And he is going to protect her all the time.
Thank
and I have
Jesus.
The authority to say, get out from my daughter's eyes. Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
To all the glory be to God.
Amen. Let's all stand together. You know, the enemy wants to what? Kill, steal, and destroy us, our children, our grandchildren. Come on, let's take authority for them right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we join Ibis, Lord God, in taking full authority over all the power of the enemy that would try to come against our family members. In Jesus' name, release them from every force of hell. And may today every one of our family members draw closer to Jesus than they've ever been in their entire existence. We love you, Lord. We need you so desperately. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayers today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remain standing for the word. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day, we are being slaughtered like sheep. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's give him praise today, church. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. Glory to God. God is on the throne today. From the original Greek, I want you to catch this. It says, but in all these things, we are super conquerors through the one loving us. We are super conquerors through the one loving us. 6 years old, I tied a towel around my neck and dove off the bed thinking I could fly. Gravity took over pretty quickly. I was shocked. I wanted to be a super conqueror. I wanted to be just like Superman. But that's what the scriptures are telling us today. We are more than conquerors, and we can never be separated from his love. Before I get going, I want to tell you about something that happened in our family this week. We have some sad news. Pam's in Oregon right now. Actually, I took her to the airport last Sunday morning because of what was transpiring. Ashley was 4.5 months pregnant, halfway, and little Ezekiel Ray Silveri, his heart stopped beating in her womb. And so she had to go through the birthing process, birthed this precious little boy. His birthday was also his date of death. He got a birth certificate and a death certificate on the same day. And so we believe, and as Ashley was crying and telling me about her on the phone one day last week, the Lord gave me this word. I said, Ashley, little Zeke, we were going to call him Zeke. Zeke's sitting on my mom's lap right now. I see it. I can see it as clear. And Pam's mother is right there. And this is a real baby. Even though they'll kill babies older than that back here behind our back parking lot, this is a real person. He really does exist. He's my grandson. I haven't met him yet, but one day I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to meet Ezekiel Ray Silveri, my grandson, who is right now in the presence of the Almighty God. Some of you have had tragedies like this. I was talking to Enola. She just got back from her 13-year-old nephew's funeral. He's a twin, so pray for her family and especially this twin. Her nephew died, and so, you know, life is filled with tragic things. It really is, but God is on the throne, but God will never let us be separated from his love. God is great. I stand here today, even though we're struggling in our family with this loss, I stand here with such hope in my heart to tell every one of you, keep believing in God. Believe, believe, believe. Believing in God is the greatest thing you can do. And trust Him when times get tough. I have some great news this morning that I have been waiting to be able to share with this congregation. We have been praying. Last year, over a year ago, 200 men and women were deployed from Las Vegas with the National Guard. They went to Kuwait, and then they went into Afghanistan, and they filled up the tanks and the trucks, and they were the support system. And it was all pretty hush-hush, and the Pentagon wouldn't release even their time of departure when they came back home. And this week, I got to meet with one of the captains that was involved in this operation, and I told him, you know, and there were 25 churches that we got involved with this, writing to the troops, and God bless many of you that wrote to some of these people that were there. And I asked him the big question. I told him, you know, all these churches, we've been praying that we wouldn't lose one of these people, not one. There were 200 that were deployed from Las Vegas. He said, Pastor, I've got good news for you. That group went and joined two other groups, so there were actually 600 that were there from around the United States, and we didn't lose one of them. Every one of them came back home. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. God answers prayer, ladies and gentlemen. God hears us. He hears our prayers. Oh, I'm so grateful to know the Lord today. Well, last week, we began ascending the highest peak in the Bible, the Everest of Bible promises. This is it. This is it. We're there. Oh, can't we just stay in Romans 8 up on the mountaintop? Because the mountaintop is just, the view is so amazing. The view today is so incredible. But how many of you know that you can't make it all the way to the summit of Mount Everest in one day? So that's why I'm still preaching on the same text this morning. I left this section last week, and I left that one rhetorical question until today because it's so incredible. There's just so much here, and the view is just so overwhelming today from the Scriptures. Now, you can't live on this mountaintop. I can't preach Romans 8 every Sunday, although I wish I could. But we can join the disciples today in saying what they said when they stood on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. You remember what they said? Lord, it's good for us to be here. Friends, it's good for us to be here today. Whatever you might be going through, let me just tell you, Jimmy said in his prayer this morning, you know, kind of one of those general eradication prayers of even addiction. Man, if God immediately delivers you from addiction, praise His holy name. If He doesn't, then get in a 12-step program because that's the boat God provided for you standing on your rooftop, your house covered with water. You know that old story? Lord, you know, or they came by to rescue the guy. No, don't worry about it. God will rescue me, you know. Send a boat, send a helicopter. And the guy was like, no, God's going to come and rescue me. Duh. Guy drowned, went to heaven. Lord, I thought you were going to rescue me. I sent you a boat and a helicopter. Sometimes He sends a boat or a helicopter through a 12-step program. That's God's plan if you're not immediately delivered. And I'm not saying God can't deliver immediately, but if you're not, then go through the process. Get over your addiction. There is a way to do it. And God never designed for us to do that by ourselves. We need each other. All right. So, it's good for us to be here, Lord. And so, it's beautiful. It just fits like a glove today that we end this portion of Romans with the promise that no other created thing is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. New Living, we just read it. And I'm using liberty here. I'm the one that put the ever in capital letters. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I was a youth pastor back in the 80s, and Freddy Krueger came along. Anybody remember Freddy Krueger? And the kids in my youth group were freaked out. I mean, you know, you kill this guy and he comes back stronger. And he just wreaks havoc and he's out to get people. And it was just like, this was your greatest nightmare, something you can't get rid of. And so I remember being able to preach this portion of scripture and tell them, look, nothing in all creation, I mean, that's just a made-up story, but even Freddy Krueger can't separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can touch us. Nothing can separate us. So it's in that promise that we now reach the summit, the highest viewpoint, in my estimation, in all of the scriptures. And so we're in this letter to the Romans, and we're here on February the 12th, and history has this thing called Curious Oddities. And today's coincidence, excuse me, is that two men diametrically opposed in their beliefs were born on the exact same day. Now, most of us are aware today is Abraham Lincoln's birthday. I grew up in a time when we had Abraham Lincoln's birthday as a holiday, and school was out tomorrow. But now we have President's Day on the third Monday of February to commemorate the birthdays of several different presidents. But Abraham Lincoln believed that God created all men equally, with dignity and with inalienable rights. Now, I hope you know the contents of the Gettysburg Address. If you ever go to the memorial, Veterans Memorial, out in Boulder City, it's written right on the wall, the entire address. I just read it the other day. The Gettysburg Address. And Abraham Lincoln loved to speak about God and God being the one who created man. Stephen Douglas, along with many others back in that day who were in his cabinet, they complained all the time that Abraham Lincoln quotes the scriptures far too often. But in a speech in Lewiston, Illinois on August 17, 1858, President Lincoln began by quoting the Declaration of Independence, which states, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." This was their majestic interpretation of the economy of the universe. This was their lofty and wise and noble understanding of the justice of the Creator to His creatures. Yes, gentlemen, to all His creatures, to the whole great family of man. And thus, he began his quest to eradicate slavery in our nation. The other man, born on February 12, 1809, said these words, "Man in his arrogance thinks himself a great work, worthy of interposition of a deity, more humble, and I believe truer, to consider him created from the animals." And of course, you know, that man was Charles Darwin. So Lincoln believed, born February 12th, he believed in the creation of man by God and that all men are created equally. Darwin, born February 12th, believed that man evolved by natural selection from the animals, even the lowest animals. Darwin believed that evolution occurs through the survival of the most adaptable to change and that all men are not created equally. Lincoln believed correctly that the love of God existed and was to be shown to all men. This is what we believe. This is what we teach. This is what's coming to you from the scriptures. Darwin, on the other hand, believed that there is no such thing as the love of God and that all men are on their own. Now, here's what bugs me. If we came from monkeys, why do the producers of the movies, Planet of the Apes, have to cheat and put human eyes inside that monkey. Cheaters. That bugs me. You know, if it ever started happening, why doesn't it keep happening? I mean, don't get me started on evolution. What a bunch of baloney that's taught in our higher institutes of learning in this nation. This morning, the Bible tells us of the incredible and inseparable love of God. So, I'm going to speak to you today about a very familiar Greek word to all of us. We all know this word, but I'm going to try to help you know it even better today. I'm talking about the agape love of God. I'd like for you to keep in mind the incredible gulf between the thoughts of Abraham Lincoln and the thoughts of Charles Darwin. As Christians, we need to experience the warmth and the depth of God's agape love and compare it to the coldness and the barrenness of the beliefs of Darwin. So, come on, folks, journey with me to, again, what I consider to be the highest mountain peak of the Holy Scriptures. Let's look today deeply into the beautiful, warm, gracious, inseparable agape love of God, which concludes Romans chapter 8. Have you ever heard a greater question in the Bible than the one Paul is asking here? What shall separate us from the agape love of Christ? There are four words for love in Greek, and three are found in the Bible. Now, one of them describes the love of family, and another is Philadelphia, describing brotherly love. But the love that dominates this section today is agape, a word that occurs 116 times in the New Testament. So you might be thinking agape was a common word in the Greek culture, but in reality, they rarely ever used this word. In fact, this word was despised by the Greeks. And so if they ever said you were a person who had agape love, they were ridiculing you. It was Jesus who, just like so many other ways he did this, Jesus came along and he lifted the word from disdain through his teachings. And then he demonstrated the full meaning of the word through his death and resurrection. This word was sovereignly placed inside the Greek language by God himself so he could reveal the depths of its meaning when the Word became flesh and dwelt here among us, and then perhaps even more so when Jesus died on the cross, which is the highest point of the agape love of Christ. Imagine for a moment if we had to describe the love of Christ and Christ going to the cross, just using an English word, our word love. In the same sentence, we can say, we love God. We love our family. We love our pets. We love ice cream. Imagine that. We just used the exact same English word to describe how we feel about ice cream and the infinite love that was demonstrated through Jesus Christ. So you know what God did? God hid away the word agape in the Greek language just to reserve it for himself so he could describe the sacrifice of his only son on the cross to save sinful men and women from their sins. And the reason that it was despised by the Greeks is because it's kind of a rational, cold type of love. Agape chooses to love someone who is less than the one choosing to do the loving. So that's kind of like, it puts it in the realm of only God. Only God can have agape love. In fact, agape is a downward moving love that loves those who are completely unlovable. You know, the only thing that I could find, I was trying to find a human analogy for this. You know, is there any love that's like that? Is there any love that someone's loving someone less, and someone, the love is moving down to someone completely unlovable. It's almost like a wife's love for a husband. No. Sorry. I couldn't pass that up. I don't want to mess this up, so forget that I just said that. But it really is a love for those who are hideous, repulsive, have nothing to offer. No. it is kind of like, no. No. Now, under what conditions would anyone make a word like that if it weren't inspired by God? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit saw a man in his wretched, hopeless, miserable condition and loved us with his agape love. Christ emptied himself of his glory. He took on the form of a man, even coming in the likeness of sinful flesh. The likeness of flesh of sin, Romans chapter 8, verse 2. To come to man, Jesus had to empty himself. Being a man did not give him anything, but it took the miracle of incarnation and an emptying and a descending to the lowest level of man for God the Son to redeem us. But this also shows us that agape love is a giving love. It's a redeeming love of that which is lost, that which is broken, that which is your enemy. What possible English word could describe the love of God for our enemies? And what word could more perfectly describe God's love for sinful men and women? Now here it is in Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Speaking of all earthly loves, for perhaps on behalf of a righteous man, someone might die, and on behalf of a good man, possibly someone might dare to die. That's like the highest form of love that we could portray. But God commended his own agape love to us, that while we were still sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ died on our behalf. Been studying this guy, Anders Nygren. He wrote a commentary to Romans we've been referring to quite a bit, but here's a book he wrote in 1969 called Agape and Eros. And this is what he says about God's agape love. Nowhere is the absolutely spontaneous and unmotivated nature of God's agape so clearly manifested as in the death of Christ. To give one's life for the righteous, after all, there would be some accounting for that. But for whom was it that Christ gave his life? Not for the righteous, but for sinners. Christ died for the weak, the ungodly, sinners, and enemies. In thus describing the agape of the cross, Paul has risen to the sublimest conception of God's agape ever given or ever capable of being given. Paul is describing something so wonderful today. And here's another incredible aspect of the agape love of God. God's love could never be separated from the Christian. Agape love only flows one way. Agape love is inseparable between the Christian and God. True agape love speaks about the relationship between Christ and the believer that comes down to unworthy and sinful man and chooses to love him in his wretchedness. This agape love only flows one way, from God to us. That's why none of us could ever really take credit for exhibiting agape love. This kind of love comes exclusively from the heart of the Heavenly Father, as is expressed through his Son toward every person who ever lived. Better yet, it describes the love that Jesus Christ has for the Christian. So as Paul lists as many things as he can think of that people may consider to separate the Christian from the agape love of Christ, such as death, the truth is that all of these things that would separate people from each other are transformed by Christ and draw us closer into fellowship with Him. In this life, a person at the point of a sword may deny a friend or even a family member, and separation occurs. If we confess Christ at the point of a sword, as many martyrs have done throughout the years, and it's even happening now in the world we live in, then we draw nearer to Christ. Let me tell you a story about one such martyr. It was a young mother named Perpetua. She was martyred in Carthage in either 202 or 203 AD. She was imprisoned because she would not sacrifice to the emperor. And she continued to be called a Christian all the way to the point of death. Even her father, who was not a Christian, begged her to renounce Jesus Christ. The governor encouraged her to think of her baby, who was still nursing, and renounce Christ. But she steadfastly refused to renounce Christ or worship the emperor Severus. So she was thrown to the wild beast, but she survived when the crowd became ashamed of killing a holy woman and a new mother. So they ordered a young gladiator to kill Perpetua at the point of his sword. He was so moved by this holy woman that he could not bring himself to kill her. The account of her diary, which was finished by one of her church members, describes the powerful scene in the amphitheater. She screamed as she was struck on the bone. Then she took the trembling hand of the young gladiator and guided it to her throat. It was as though so great a woman, feared as she was by the unclean spirit, could not be dispatched unless she herself were willing. And that's the way it is with everything on this list that Paul gives us in today's text, whether they be difficult situations, demonic powers, persecution, even death itself, whatever might separate people in normal relationships only draws us into the fellowship of Christ's sufferings even more. And the flow of agape, the agape love of Jesus Christ, continues. The agape love of Christ is perfect. The agape love of Christ is infinite. And so it's always flowing to the Christian. And that's something really powerful to understand today. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what's going on, even now, currently in your walk, maybe you're as far away from Jesus as you've ever been. Let me tell you, His agape love is still flowing your way. And this is why Paul can make the promise to us that we who follow Christ, we who are believers in Jesus Christ, who are we? Friends, know this, we are more than conquerors. We are super conquerors through the one agape loving us. If you are agape loved by God, then you're a super conqueror. This promise advances on the promise made a couple of weeks ago that we talked about, that God is the one who works all things together for good. Listen, I don't know how God's going to work together for good the death of my little grandson that Ashley experienced this week, but you watch. Throughout the next months and years, somehow God is going to redeem that. Ashley will minister to other women that are going through that. Some of you that have been through that, call Ashley. I'll give you her number and give her your story and encourage her. You find your ministry where your misery was. God will cause all things to work together for good. That's His great promise. So we brought that truth out a couple of weeks ago, that God Himself steps in and makes things work together for the good of the believer. Even our failures, come on, our errors, our sins, our shortcomings, our when you're sitting there looking at yourself and the enemy's just pounding you with accusations, at that moment, at your lowest moment, know this. You're a super conqueror through Jesus Christ. Get in the mirror and say that to yourself. Give yourself a pep talk. You know what? You're messing up, son. things aren't going well right now, and you're, look at you, look at what's going on in your life, but I need to remind you who you are, son. You're a super conqueror through Jesus Christ. You are more than a conqueror. So I want you to just please write down and put all your trust in these two very great and precious promises. Number one, God is even now working all things together for good in your life. God right now is working all things together for good in your life. That's number one. That's the great and precious promise. And number two today in our text, we are super conquerors through the one agape loving us. We are super conquerors through the one agape loving us. So, in addition to having God work all things together for good, we are super conquerors. And that means in every situation, in every persecution, in every temptation, in every demonic struggle. It often seems for us as Christians that we look like we've lost or we've been defeated by hunger or persecution or spiritual powers or even death, but we only need to remind ourselves the way things looked on that first Easter Sunday morning before sunrise. It seemed to the entire universe, to every creature, every angelic and demonic being, as if Jesus Christ himself had been defeated. The Sadducees were celebrating that they had finally killed that Nazarene. The Pharisees were rejoicing that they had kept the purity of the faith and they condemned Jesus Christ. The Romans exulted that they'd killed the one claiming to be king of the Jews. The demons howled. The one who came to torment them before their time was dead. The devil hissed in victory. The one born, the Son of God, who came to redeem men and women out of the devil's hands was now gone, and now all men and women were lost forever. But at that very moment, just prior to the moment of the resurrection, the Bible tells us Jesus was actually raiding hell itself in victory and declaring his victory to all of the saints in Sheol as Christ's body lay on the cold stone in the tomb. His spirit was in hell, leading captivity captive. Defeat is never what it seems to be in Christ. For after leading captivity captive, Christ arose from the dead, and all of the rejoicing and partying that the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the demons and the devil himself were doing stopped instantly, and their victory shouts became shouts of anguish because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Defeat became victory. Oh, friends, that's who we are. Super conquerors through the one agape loving us. Listen, as long as you're agape loved, you're going to be okay. And I got news for you. He's never going to stop agape loving you. Now, I know we can all do some stupid stuff, and you can make a real hard choice, and you can tell God to get out of your life. But in order to do that, you're going to have to trudge through every drop of blood Jesus Christ ever shed. You're going to have to go right up to him on the cross and pluck his beard and look him in the eye and say, I don't want you in my life. That's how you backslide. Not the way we all do it. Getting a little bit lazy. Not reading our scriptures every day like we should. Really not getting involved in prayer. Getting caught up in life. And not being as close to the Lord as we once were, friends. That's not how you get away from God. God's going to keep loving you. God's going to keep drawing you back. God's going to give you the privilege to reach over and turn that TV off and start getting on your knees and spend a little time with him. God will be there. But if you really want to backslide, then you go through that process. You trudge through his blood. You look at him in the eye, on the cross, pull out part of his beard, push the crown of thorns down a little harder on his head, mash the nails into his hands and his feet a little more and say, I don't want you in my life. That's how you backslide. That's how you walk away. But he'll never walk away from you. He'll never turn his back on you. But why not? Because he loves us. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Defeat became victory. I should have saved this message for Easter Sunday. Man, oh man. The angels came down and sat on top of the tomb. They rolled away the stone because the women were on their way and they didn't know what they were going to do. And they were wanting to anoint Jesus. And Mary Magdalene, she senses defeat. Is so overwhelming, and she looks in there to the tomb, and Jesus isn't there. And then we hear the angel's question to Mary, the newest super conqueror. She just didn't know it yet. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. He was raised from the dead. Christ Jesus is the ultimate and first super conquerors. We are only super conquerors because of him and because of his inseparable agape love. Paul tells us in all these things, what things? Tribulation, distress, cold, persecution, things present, things to come, death, life, angels, principalities. In all of these things, we are super conquerors through the one who is agape loving us. We aren't even conquerors in ourselves, let alone super conquerors, because you know how we are. We're all prone to defeat. We all too easily succumb to trials and temptation. We all too easily give up when faced with persecution or the sword. We're not able to conquer death or have victory over death on our own. And the demons and even the devil himself knows that we, in and of ourselves, are no match for their power and their evil ingenuity. Don't ever be stupid enough to think you can take the devil on by yourself. Remember the sons of Sceva? He'll tear you up on your own power. But we are super conquerors today through Jesus Christ. We have authority over all the power of the enemy through Jesus Christ. We are conquerors because of his amazing agape love. So the next time you feel defeated and you're just completely out of strength or you're at your wit's end, not knowing what to do next, then remember it's Jesus Christ who is the one through all that he's done, death, burial, resurrection, ascension to the right hand of the Father, interceding for us right now, he's the one who makes us super conquerors. Hallelujah. Through his inseparable agape love. So as you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning, if you're here and maybe you're feeling that defeat, maybe you feel completely unloved, do you know, those are such common feelings. Because we're just sheep. That's all we are. We're just sheep. And we're all prone to all of this. But I've got such great news this morning. Because all you have to do is cry out to Jesus. Cry out to him today. Ask him to come into your heart, into your life, to forgive you of your sins, to save you. And from that moment on, Christ will love you eternally with his inseparable agape love. If you're a Christian today and you're feeling defeated, remind yourself of who you are. Remind yourself that you're a super conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. through Jesus Christ, who loves us. We will never be separated from His love. Lord, I thank You for this view that we have today. To me, it's just the highest point. I remember when I was a teenager and my dad and I got to hike up in the Colorado Mountains, and we went around that corner. We saw that beautiful waterfall. And the further we went, the higher we went, the greater the view. And that's how I feel this morning. I'm standing here just in awe of the agape, inseparable agape love of God for me. I'm a sinner. I'm a wretch. I make a lot of mistakes. Still, at this point, and yet You love me. And I thank You, Lord, that every day, inch by glorious inch, we're gaining territory, we're gaining ground, we're gaining maturity, we're gaining strength. We're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. This congregation is filled with fighters. People that when the going gets tough, they get tougher. When everything falls apart, they don't run away from You, they run to You. When things seem like it's over and defeat is absolutely assured, we are the people of God. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And I am persuaded today that neither death, the one thing we all fear the most, death will not separate us from the love of Christ, Jesus our Lord. Death is simply our gain. Death is our movement into the presence of the Lord forever and ever. Don't be afraid of death. When it comes, as it will come to all of us, should the Lord tarry, death can't separate us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, I'm asking You for an infusion of strength today. We are Your children. We are Your people. Lord, I'm asking You that every one of us, myself included, that this week we'll have a divine appointment with someone who's hurting, someone who's searching for answers, someone who's open to the gospel, and that You will fill up our mouths, Lord, and we'll open our mouth and we'll present the gospel. Oh, I hear it over and over and over. Different ones in this congregation that are out there sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus through us, super conquerors, that fellowship together at 1000 East St. Louis. Oh God, strengthen us. Infuse us with a boldness today like we've never known before. And through that boldness, Holy Spirit, empower us to say the words. Even if it's simply, hey, can I pray for you? Would you mind if I prayed for you? It seems like you're down. Seems like you're troubled. Seems like you're going through something. Would you mind if I prayed for you? God, use us this week. We are the ones that are going to see a great last day in gathering of souls. And we together, all of us, will stand in the presence of the living God. And we will give you great praise and worship and glory and honor. Because you are the one inseparably agape loving us. Will you stand with me, everyone, right now? I want to sing, "I Stand in Awe of You." Sing this chorus with me if you know it.